This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back toward the mound, shoveled on home.
He dropped
the ball, and the Pirates win! Rondon couldn't catch the ball from 5 feet away, and that's how the Pirates walk it off! Newman does it again for the sixth time in 2 years. Mr. Walk-Off hits a ball 35 feet, and that's good enough for the Pirates to come back and beat the Sox.
Oh, what a 2020 call that is. Hits it 35 feet, still wins the game, but it's a game winner nonetheless, and it's the sixth time he's walked off a game, as you heard Joe Block say right here on the Pirates Radio Network and 93.7 The Fan. Kevin Newman, the hero last night for the 5-4 win for the Pirates. And with that, welcome in. It is the early morning show here on a Wednesday morning. Midweek, I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. A nice little win for the Pirates last night. They're 14-26 now on the season. The walk-off from PNC Park. And more so than that, I mean, they came back a couple of times in this game. They were down 3-0 at one point and also were down 4-2 and came back to win it. But I'll focus the conversation more so quickly on Kevin Newman, because he is a bit of an enigma to me. He's right behind Brian Reynolds as the guy that I've been most disappointed with this year. I mean, it's hard not to be disappointed with everybody based on the performances from this season and how the season has gone to this point. But Kevin Newman was one of those younger guys that I thought, you know what, this guy can play a little bit. Coming off a year in which he hit over 300, hit 308 with 12 homers and 64 RBIs. I mean, that is a valuable middle infielder. There aren't too many guys around the league that can do that. And yes, he does have some weird games where he just forgets how to field, and he did that again this season. He did it last year when I believe he had 3 errors in one game. So he's got these little blips in his defensive play, but I thought, you know, he could be a shortstop or a second baseman that's here for the longer haul, that maybe is here if and when they ever turn it around. This year, he's hitting just .248 with 1 home run and 9 RBIs. And I want to believe that he can be a quality big leaguer moving forward. I just don't know. And maybe Eric Gonzalez's emergence is significant, because Gonzalez can play short. We've seen him play good defense this year as well, and he's been one of the few good surprises for the Pirates this year. So maybe he's there for a little bit longer at short while Newman slides over to second and Frazier. Eventually, hopefully, they can get something for him this offseason and he can move on with his life's work somewhere else. But with Kevin Newman, he's 27 already. This is go time for him. So I'm willing to chalk this year up to 60 games, not a full sample size, to really get things going. I don't know what kind of numbers he's going to end up with, but they're probably not going to be very pretty. He's one of the few, I still think, that can be part of things if and when they turn it around over the next, 3 to 5 years. But it's kind of startling to see that he's already 27. I mean, this should be the prime of his career. So there is no more waiting around for Kevin Newman to develop. He should be there with his major league play. So that's just something that I thought of as a result of last night's game with the walk-off and the Pirates win at 5-4 over the White Sox. You know, also, I want to get to this here in this first segment. I saw that the Browns nailed down Kareem Hunt with a contract extension yesterday. 2 years, a little over $13 million, and that's securing what really is one of the best 1-2 punches in any backfield in the entire league, along with Nick Chubb. Those two guys, when they both get it rolling, could be dominant. And I've said this before, in talking and just looking at the 2020 season and how things might play out, as we're just one day away from it, by the way. Texans Chiefs tomorrow night. That things just really come down to this. In the AFC, maybe for the Steelers, for the AFC North, and maybe the complexion of the entire AFC. It's Baker Mayfield. He's the key to this thing. He's the wild card. He wasn't good last year, clearly, for the Cleveland. 22 touchdowns, but 21 interceptions. 59.4 completion percentage. Anytime you're under 60 in the NFL, it just ain't cutting it. And especially when you aren't a huge threat with your legs. And Mayfield can move around a little bit, but he's not going to take off for a 30-yard run. He's not Lamar Jackson. And if he's bad again, even with all those weapons around him, and that's what you hear with Cleveland, right? I mean, the hype train is there once again this year. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, the two running backs I just mentioned, Austin Hooper at tight end, who is, well, was at least, a top five tight end in the league with Atlanta. He comes over to Cleveland. He's in the mix now. But if Baker Mayfield's not good again, the Browns probably don't make that move to Case Keenum until later on, like 7 or 8 games into the season. I talked to Daryl Ryder from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland a couple weeks ago, and he basically said to me, hey, they have all the intentions to have Baker Mayfield be their franchise guy. They're not really thinking about Case Keenum unless they have to really pull the plug and Baker Mayfield is just that bad. But if all things are right, they're riding with Baker Mayfield. And so that makes me think that even if Mayfield is the same guy as last year, that they're not going to be very quick to make that move. So by that time, who knows? They're 2-5 or 3-5. And it might be too late to turn things around, and the Browns are the Browns again, and we can all laugh at them. But they've got mostly everything in place around him. It's up to him. But let's consider if he is good. If he's the first overall pick that he was drafted to be, then the Browns win at least 8 games. They won 6 without him last year. I don't think it's crazy to say that they go at least .500 if Baker Mayfield is that guy. They can win at least 8. And then it tightens up everything. Then they're a bigger challenge to both the Steelers twice a year, of course, and also to the Ravens, too. I mean, they did beat the Ravens last year. That was early on in the year. It was kind of a fluky game. But if they play better, and if Baker Mayfield, again, is who he's supposed to be, then maybe Baltimore trips up against them at least once next year. And then you insert the Browns into the mix with the AFC playoff picture. And that's a logjam on the back end. The AFC South, to me, is a complete toss-up between the Texans, Titans, and Colts. I think all three teams will be there. They'll probably all be around 8-8, 9-7. And it's going to come down to the last couple weeks of the season to figure out who actually wins that division. And I'm sure one of those teams is going to get a wild card spot, especially with the playoffs expanding to 7 teams. I believe the Patriots will be there with Cam Newton because I still think he has got a lot left. So I think they win 9 or 10 games. The Raiders, a little bit of a long shot. Broncos are a little bit of a long shot, especially with some news overnight that I'll get to in the next segment. The Dolphins are suddenly a trendy pick. I saw Peter King pick the Dolphins as the number 4 seed in the AFC. I don't get that, but okay, maybe. The point is, it would create a jumbled mess, and the Steelers would most likely be right in that. Because most likely, I know things can happen, but right now, as we sit here today, most likely Baltimore is going to win the division. And so the Steelers are going to have to go into that mess to fight for a wild card spot. And if Baker Mayfield, again, is who he was supposed to be when he was drafted, there might be only a game or two separation between the Steelers and the Browns. So I think he holds the key to a lot of things. I know Lamar is going to be good in Baltimore, as long as he's healthy. I'm confident Ben is back, and back in a big way, that he's got that arm figured out, and I'm not going to go any further with and jinx things or whatever about his arm, but I feel pretty good about it. But I have no idea about Baker. And he could really swing everything, both in the North and in the entire AFC in general. All right, coming up next, some things you may have missed from yesterday, including a shutout in the NHL and also a really, really big injury in the AFC. Also, yesterday, it was the first edition of it, the Mike Tomlin press conference on Tuesday. So we'll go over some Mike Tomlin moments, the interesting, the insightful, the comical, and the cliche, the first version of the 2020 season. That's all next. It's the Early Morning Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. 5:17 here on your Wednesday morning. It is the Early Morning Show. Some things you may have missed from yesterday, especially if you're up this early. Let's get to it.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, let's go to hockey first. And it was the exact opposite of course, what I predicted as part of the epic ending for the Fan Morning Show yesterday. And it was a shutout for the Vegas Golden Knights. Robin Leonard showed up big. Here's partly how it sounded on NBC Sports.
Fourth shutout of the Stanley Cup playoffs for Robin Leonard. Golden Knights return the favor following the Hudobin shutout in game one.
Yeah, tied up the series. Vegas did with a 3-0 victory over the Dallas Stars in Game 2. 24 saves from Leonard. It was his second straight shutout and fourth in his past seven games. And I think that very safely and securely plants Marc-Andre Fleury's behind on the bench for the rest of the playoffs, unless Leonard really blows up from here. But they're going to have a very interesting decision to make, Vegas, where they can pay the 29-year-old Leonard to keep him around because his deal is up after this year. I believe he signed a one-year deal worth about $5 million coming into this year. Or they keep the 35-year-old Marc-Andre Fleury, who counts $7 million against the cap over the next 2 years. He just signed a three-year contract extension before this season. And so what the heck did they do from here? And do they keep both guys around? Can they afford to keep both guys around? And of course, bringing it here locally, do the Penguins factor in on any of that? Do they get in on the Marc-Andre Fleury game at all? It's an interesting question, and I think it's a lot of moving money around. I'm not sure. I mean, this is the whole point of getting rid of one of the goaltenders this year in Jari or Murray, is because, well, they can't afford to keep both around, especially with a flat cap coming to the league next year. And Murray is rumored to get around the Marc-Andre Fleury money, around that $7 million per year. Although I think that's kind of crazy because it's paying him based off of what he's done in the past and not necessarily what he is right now. I guess Vegas would most likely have to buy him out, make him a free agent for that to happen, for him to come to Pittsburgh. I mean, it would be a complete long shot, but it is kind of fun to think about, is it not? All right, in the NFL yesterday, a big, big injury, and it comes to the Denver Broncos and its dynamic pass rusher. Von Miller suffered a lower leg injury that could sideline him for, well, really the whole season. ESPN reported that, according to a league source, he injured a tendon in his ankle on the last play of practice. It was kind of a fluke injury and is expected to need season-ending surgery. So one of the best pass rushers in the league, most likely done for the year. Broncos, a trendier pick around the league to make a playoff appearance, I think. Vic Fangio now there. Drew Locke in place as the quarterback. They brought in Melvin Gordon, brought in KJ Hamler from Penn State. They had a lot of different weapons going there, and maybe this is something that keeps them out of the playoffs. Who knows? But Von Miller most likely out for the year. This is really interesting in college football yesterday. To boost their resources at a time of rising financial uncertainty. And I wonder if this is the first domino to fall in many things like this in college football. The Colorado Buffaloes have reached a 5-year sponsorship deal with an online sports betting company whose product is still banned for use under NCAA rules for players, coaches, and staff. So this deal between Colorado and PointsBet means that Colorado's athletics programs will take in revenue from the deal, even as Colorado employees and athletes could get in trouble for becoming PointsBet's customers. So I guess they're just going after it and saying, you know what? We know that there are certain things in place from the NCAA, but we need the money and we're doing it. And it's all okay, apparently, as gambling boundaries continue to kind of blur in college sports. Amid the pressure to bring in more revenue, they've gotten more of a pushback on the name, image, and likeness rights for these players. And so things are kind of changing in college sports, and Colorado's the first school to kind of jump on this. And I wonder how many other schools follow suit. It's interesting that Colorado's in the Pac-12, though, and they're not playing football this fall. Whatever. And also from yesterday, I mean, he ain't wrong. Leonard Fournette, and coming over from the Jacksonville Jaguars to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, working under Tom Brady after having worked with the likes of Blake Bortles, Nick Foles for like 2 games. And Gardner Minshew says, for the first time in my life, I really have a quarterback. Again, he ain't wrong. All right, coming up next, Mike Tomlin moments from yesterday. His first press conference with the media. And of course, Mike Tomlin is the same. You know how he speaks. And he also did bring a lot of, I think, very pertinent information for week 1 and beyond yesterday. Let's go over some Mike Tomlin moments next. Good morning, sir. 7 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show, Matt Clement, former Major League pitcher. He'll join the show to talk some baseball, as he always does. Weekly Hit, moving him up to 7 o'clock today. 8 o'clock, it's Ray Fittipaldo from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. As we are in a game week, and so we've got plenty of things to preview with Ray. And then at 8:30 today, from Pro Football Focus, it's Eric Eager who joins the show to break down some of the numbers behind some things, and we'll get inside the mind of some of the math nerds, if I can call them so very affectionately at Pro Football Focus, to see what we can expect for the Steelers and beyond for the 2020 season. So that's at 8:30 today. And I believe we're going to do some kind of fantasy draft at 9 o'clock, some version of that with all 4 of us. It's Jim, Chris, Colin, of course. So that's all coming on the way on the Fan Morning Show this morning. But yesterday, Mike Tomlin took to the virtual podium. Now it is for this season. So it's time for some Mike Tomlin moments. The interesting, the insightful, the comical, and the cliche. And I got to get some production behind this segment as we move forward for the rest of the season. But nonetheless, we press on for today. The first order of business that I want to go over that he addressed yesterday was Sean Davis coming back to the team. Here's what Mike Tomlin had to say.
Those are the first things that we thought about when we had an opportunity to reacquire him, the instant help that he could provide us as a guy that spent a lot of time as a core special teamer for us in his youth.
Yeah, mentioned special teams, mentioned it twice as he was giving that answer for Sean Davis. And here's a guy that went from a second round pick to a key defensive starter in the backfield to now in his second go around being mentioned more for his skills as a special teamer. I just can't believe that it's that for him. That's it. As I said yesterday, I wouldn't be surprised if it's more of a split between him and Terrell Edmunds by the end of the year. I'm not trying to make him out to be some world beater. I just haven't seen much at all from Edmunds to make me believe that he's a starter and that he isn't worthy of having somebody come in and potentially take some playing time away from him, especially if he's going to have, you know, much of the same role as he did last year and just being maybe a step or two behind the play and not really making impact plays. So I think that Sean Davis is going to do a lot more than just special teams in his second go-around with the Steelers. Also, Coach T on one, Dustin Colquitt.
really excited about his floor. You know, as a 15-year veteran, a guy that's seen a lot of circumstances, been in a lot of circumstances, we got a great deal of comfort in his ability to deliver in a variety of circumstances.
Excited about his floor. Yes, he said this twice yesterday. AKA, he doesn't suck as bad. And if I could use an old Tomlinism in reference to Mason Rudolph, I believe, when he was taking back over for Duck Hodges, he doesn't kill us. And that's all we want here, right? I mean, we don't want Shanksville in a big moment and giving a team a short field. And he also said that Colquitt is a savvy and seasoned holder, which was a nice little phrase he brought into the fray there when talking about Dustin Colquitt. All right, how about those right tackles, Coach T?
I'm comfortable with the right tackle prospects. Like I said, in recent days, you know, it's been a tough decision because I feel like we have two guys that are starter capable. And so that's a good issue to have.
Man, this is interesting that he's still sorting this out and still will throughout this week, just days before the opener on Monday night against the Giants. And it's rare that there's a position that's so up in the air like this at this point in the preseason. And I think it's, you know, no really fault of the Steelers, I wouldn't say, but more just a sign of the times and not having a preseason, not having enough evaluation, I'm sure, to make a decision. And this is something that I'm definitely going to be watching for in the opener, is how to Banner or Chukwuma Okorafor, who was ever out there at the right tackle position, how are they holding up? And I don't think it's going to be a disaster necessarily. I have a little bit more faith in them than that, but it could definitely be a weak spot. And against better teams than just the New York Giants, it might show itself more as the season goes on. Sticking with the offensive line, there's been a very notable guy that's been missing practice. It's David DeCastro.
We didn't work David yesterday on the bonus day. We'll see what tomorrow holds as we begin our preparation week. I know he's excited about getting back out there with his teammates as soon as possible.
I don't know, man. That doesn't sound good. Kind of a we'll see answer from Mike Tomlin there. I think it's about 50-50 right now that he plays. Maybe even less than that. Maybe 40-60. It doesn't really change the outcome, or shouldn't, in my mind, change the outcome of this game. I mean, I don't think that the Steelers are going to somehow lose this game or should lose this game to the Giants because David DeCastro isn't out there. So in saying that, if there's any doubt, I'd rather him just stay out. They can beat the Giants without him. Don't push it. If it's something that is, you know, really going to nag him that much, and it maybe, you know, don't risk the potential to make it worse to play against this team for week one, very, very early on in the season. So I think if there's any doubt, I'd much rather see David DeCastro just go out. How about those quarterbacks? You kept four of them, Mike Tomlin.
We just felt like it was important in this circumstance for us to have four quarterbacks in the program, guys that we've played ball with in the past, and we believe that that aids us in ducking the position that he's in, being a practice squad guy. This is a guy that started games for us a year ago, and we believe that that's an asset to us. And in this COVID environment, you can't insulate yourself enough with quality depth at all positions.
Oh, I played that clip because I wanted to hear him say a buzz word and a buzz phrase that he mentioned twice yesterday, and that's fortify our depths. And that answer makes sense. I mean, let's just hope we don't have to dive too deeply into those waters, right? But I really just played that because I wanted to hear fortify our depths. But here's the big question and answer from yesterday. It's Tomlin talking about his running backs.
We're going to discover that week in and week out in terms of what gives us the very best chance to win each and every game. We have players with unique and different talents, particularly at that position, as you mentioned, and we're not opposed to utilizing all of those talents. All of that being said, there is no question about who our bell cow is. Our bell cow is James Conner, and he's our primary ball toter.
But the return of the ball toter. Oh, I love that phrase that Mike Tomlin breaks out. But everybody got in a tizzy when they heard the word bell cow come out of Mike Tomlin's mouth when talking about James Conner. And I think there is a huge overreaction to this happening. The answer in itself is a contradiction, and I think that's the whole point. I think some are taking this as James Conner is going to get like 99% of the carries when they hear the word bell cow. And I mean, what does bell cow translate to? 70%, 80%, 90%? I think it's all semantics, really. But I find it hard to believe that he'll ignore a running back that he's high on and that he mentioned throughout this conference as someone that can improve in year two with Benny Snell, and a rookie that's been making some waves in camp in Anthony McFarland. And I find it even harder to do so when Matt Canada is around and will want to use the personnel that's there, I'm sure. I mean, it's not just Mike Tomlin making all of the decisions for personnel offensively. It probably won't be the kind of split or share that people want, or that would potentially keep Connor as healthy as possible. I don't think we'll ever quite get there with Tomlin because he's always going to lean toward riding one guy. But I think this is more of Tomlin just clearly spelling out that at the end of the day, Connor is their best guy. And he is. I mean, look, you can handle him like you're afraid to hurt him. You can do that if you want, but he's a dynamic player. You got to play him. And do I hope bell cow means more like 70% of the carries? Sure. Absolutely. But I'm not going to just overreact with him saying that he's definitely the bell cow for this upcoming season. And I think that's what a lot of that has been since he said it, and probably will be a lot of it today as well. All right, wrapping it up with the official count. We got to do this after each press conference. COVID pandemic / uncertain / unusual environment. I've got a 7 count on that. Splash or splash plays, that was mentioned twice. A lot of / a great deal of respect, that was mentioned 13 times yesterday. I've got a 2 count for fortify our depths. And then one-offs. Motor runs hotter, green dot, train leaves the station, and also a mention, just one mention, surprisingly, of the word global. And there's your Mike Tomlin moments from yesterday. Let's wrap it up with this.
It's time for Gone in 40 Seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the Early Morning Show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
I've been pretty positive about football in the COVID environment. I think we can do it. I think we can push forward with it. We can make it work if we do it right at any level. And if there are players that are willing to take that risk, we should let them and able to. And not take away those opportunities. I still feel that way, but this college football season is going to be a mess. Outside the fact that, you know, two huge Power 5 conferences aren't playing, you might have stuff like 38 players testing positive at Louisiana Tech that's postponed the opener Saturday with Baylor. College is different from the pros for many reasons, including the commitment level to stay away from people to keep yourself healthy. And like the baseball season, I think we're just going to have to roll with the punches in college ball and enjoy the action as it comes, and realize these season results, they come with a big, giant asterisk. Fan weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, sunny, hot, and humid, high of 91. Tonight, clear, warm, humid, low 66. Pre-show next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.